At Ritual, Mother's Day is kind of a big deal, and we're celebrating accordingly. Find your ritual. If mom needs a bit of stress relief, digestive support, or is looking to support glowy, smooth skin, do it today with 40% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/podcast. That's ritual.com/podcast for 40% off your first month. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hello. I already have the little Wi-Fi symbol that says like my Wi-Fi symbol as well. So we're living life on the edge. I don't know.
Yes.
I don't know why, because like my Wi-Fi is not bad. Right.
Right.
It's only like Sunday that it's bad. And I don't know what it is. I don't know what the reason is. But listen, we're living life on the edge. Anyway, my name is Kylie.
I'm Auntie Collins. Hello. Happy holidays to all who celebrate holidays. And if you don't, happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday. It's always a happy Sunday. I'm always happy that it's a weekend. But yes, happy holidays. This is Wrestling Made Me Cry, by the way. It's a show where me and Collins talk about like the fun things in wrestling, the things we enjoyed over the course of the week, the things that made us emotional, you know. And there was like a lot of wrestling this week. We obviously Dynamite, we're continuing with the Continental Classic and Christmas Collision, ROH Final Battle, which we're going to get into. And you know what? For whatever reason, AW was like, we need a pay-per-view between Christmas and New Year's. So then this coming weekend, we have a ton more wrestling. So we're jam-packed. But if you guys want your question, comment, statement, whatever, right on air, make sure to submit a super chat and we'll read all of those. I Make Beats says, happy holidays from the UK. Happy holidays. What do you ever think about? Because I was, I spent the night at my sister's house. We pulled up like the Google Santa tracker and it says Santa leaves the North Pole in one day, 19 hours. Because obviously there's people on the other side of the world that are, it's like 12 hours ahead. And so to them, they get Christmas way earlier than we get Christmas.
I mean, there's people that get Christmas like 22 hours before us, or yeah. Before me, right?
Yeah.
But that's wild. That's.
Yeah, because the UK is 5 hours ahead of me. And so 8 hours ahead of you.
Okay, I want to know the mathematics on it. Like, are they like doing like the moment that it's like 12 midnight on Christmas Day? It's like that there.
Yeah, because I think they're saying like Santa's Christmas starts when it finally reaches Christmas Day midnight at like the furthest time zone, and so that's when. But that's crazy because it's for me it's the 22nd. So I'm like 22, 23, 24. There's 3 days until Christmas. But Google's like, oh, no. It's one. Time zones are freaky. They're bizarre.
I don't think they're real. I think that everyone is just at the same time. And this is just our different reality. Like, it's right now 9:19 a.m. for me. But my 9:19 a.m. is your noon. 19.
Yeah, 12:19 p.m. here.
But this is your 9 a.m. So everyone's day is different.
It's like how in the Southern Hemisphere, the seasons are swapped.
Yeah, exactly.
Like their Christmas is in summer. It.
Yeah, exactly.
Weird. I don't understand the physics of it, but we'll go with it.
I feel like I should put my background as the Hammerstein Ballroom because, oh my God. What a fun weekend.
And it's such a fun little venue, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, AW, I think, one, AW should do more shows there. Not just ROH Christmas Collision run. I think they should do a lot. Because I think for WWE, I don't think that it's as important to them to do these, like, iconic, small, intimate little venues. But for AEW, I think we should do it.
I think it's a perfect time to do it.
Oh, also my wrestling shirt of the day. Sorry, team. It's an FTR shirt. FTR Living Legends. Because FTR is going to be at the Asheville show, the show for the hurricane victims at AW.
Okay.
They said they're not going to be alone.
I got to know. Am I going to cry? Scale of 1 to 10.
Are you going to cry on the Asheville show?
Yeah.
I think so. I think you'll cry regardless of if Adam Copeland's there.
Do y'all just think I just like watch wrestling? Like the moment I turn it on, I just.
Well, no, because it's going to be emotional because it's for the hurricane victims and it's to raise money for them. So I'm expecting like the video packages and, you know, the community rebuilding. But then Adam Copeland.
I know. He's got to be there. But see, I have a theory. And I know that we were going to mention World's End. I have a theory that Christian Cage is going to cash in. I say this every favor. At the end, Christian Cage is going to cash in. He's going to get the world title belt. And guess who's going to show up?
Oh, you think at World's End?
Yeah, at World's End. Why not?
That's
ruin
true.
Ruin everyone's... everyone's and here. Then,
and then, what if, hear me out, what if Adam Copeland returns at World's End and he's like, I want a match with you at the Asheville show. And then he gets a world title match in Asheville. And then Adam Copeland wins the world title.
I'm into it. We are great storytellers. Tony Khan. Book it. Tony Khan, coward.
Pay me. Pay me. Tony, I will be an advisor. I will be a consultant on all matters.
Yeah.
Hit me up. Do not say Shane McMahon in my chat. Mike, listen. Am I opposed to Shane McMahon being involved in wrestling? No. Am I opposed to Shane McMahon having a prominent spot in AEW? Yes. Yes. If you want to put Shane McMahon in a clown costume and have him get beat up by like Grizzled Young Vet or Lance Archer or like someone else like that, go for it. But do not put Shane McMahon with FTR or Christian Cage or any of these other acts, let alone for a charity show. Mm. Period.
Period.
Let's talk final battle.
Final battle. Oh my God. So I was on a post show. So if you want to see a post show, go over to our friends over at our local establishment. It's 3 hours. So I'm sorry. I had a lot of feelings because I had 23 pages of notes.
Well, listen, it was a long show.
But I do have to say my favorite of all the matches, obviously Athena and Billy main eventing. What a wonderful story. But then just completely floundered by the ending. Why are we not pulling the trigger on Billy? That made me cry. And it was so late for me, and I'm sure it was so late for everyone else, but like a whole year of story. It was confusing.
Yeah. Well, and it's like that's been the story they've been telling with Billy since the start, that she was going to beat Athena. And it's just confusing because it did seem like over the course of especially the last couple months that they were going to pull the trigger on Billy and then Athena was going to like jump to AEW or whatever. And the, obviously the match was great, whatever, but I think almost everybody I know, no, that's everybody I know, not almost, everybody I know was shocked.
Yeah.
Because there's, and you know, people are saying, oh, they're going to keep her strong for Mercedes because they're going to do the champion versus champion thing. Or they need Athena to be the world champion because she's a strong champion and they're going into the new era in January, all that kind of stuff. Or they're going to have her be champion forever and she'll vacate and then go to AEW. There's like all these theories going around. But to me, the problem is, and I said this on Blue Sky, AEW, for all that Chris Jericho is ROH champ on AWTV or whoever is ROH world champ on AWTV. Mm-hmm. Athena, like, they're not putting her on AWTV.
Right.
So, like, to a large number of AW fans who don't pay to see ROH because it is behind a paywall, Athena's title reign is just not happening. Like, to that, it doesn't even register. They know, like, vaguely that Athena is doing something in ROH that's cool.
Right.
But they don't pay for ROH, so they don't know. Mm-hmm. So, like, the problem then is if you are building Athena to be this rival to Mercedes for this big champion versus champion match that's going to, you know, rock the universe, why isn't Athena on AEW stuff?
Exactly. Why? It doesn't make any sense, especially to someone who watches it every week, reviews it every week, talks about it in nauseam to people who don't even watch it. Because that's this story that we've been building for so long. A whole year, because it was Final Battle last year.
Yeah. And then now, if they start putting Athena on AWTV and building the Mercedes thing, which I don't know if they're doing the Mercedes thing. I'm just rolling with that.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have to have Athena come in and be like, oh, I've been champ for 2 years. And you can't sell that as that important to, like, right, an AW fan who doesn't watch Ring of Honor, because she's just showing up and she's champ. And, like, the past 2 years doesn't matter to them at that point because it's not happening because it's behind a paywall. There's so many things happening in ROH behind a paywall. And the only thing that makes it out of the paywall is Chris Jericho. And I don't know why that
is. Hi, guys.
I don't know why it is, because I think Athena, as the dominant force of ROH, like, it's one source of stability. And mm-hmm. also, like, somewhat Dustin Rhodes and Sammy Guevara and, like, their tag team. Like, put her on AWTV. And, like, don't you want people to see Athena on AWTV and then go pay for Ring of Honor?
Right. Does he not believe that women can draw new subscribers? You literally have nothing to lose.
I genuinely don't get it. Because on one hand, I do think that Athena, like, going into January, the new era, that kind of thing, I think that she would be a good talent to have on AWTV. But mm-hmm. I also don't see why you would want, you know, a veteran, an experienced person on Ring of Honor TV. But also, right, like, isn't the point of Ring of Honor that you're giving people space and time to develop and tell stories? And, like, that's what Billy Starks has been doing, because Billy Starks has been there since she literally graduated high school. I don't get it. I really don't, because it just doesn't make sense to me. It just, because if you give Billy the title, mm-hmm. you end Final Battle on a really happy note. People are like, so,
yay,
you know, because for a lot of fans, they've watched Billy since she was a teenager. And so that's a big moment for fans. It's a big moment for Billy, whatever. And then you can have Athena do something else. She can go to AW. She doesn't need to be Ring of Honor champion to challenge, right, Mercedes. We are getting Mercedes and Kristat too, which I'm excited about. But, well,
like, it doesn't reward your fans for watching. And it feels almost insulting that it's like, oh, is the only, because the episode of Ring of Honor leading up to it, Billy broke Athena's spinner belt, which, like, so many people didn't understand that Athena had a spinner belt. They're like, what do you mean she had a spinner belt? It's exactly how it sounds. She had a spinner belt because she was doing, like, the bad rendition of, like, John Cena during that time period where there's a spinner belt back and mm-hmm. forth. And Athena broke it, which is, I was thinking, wow, they're actually going to pull the trigger on Billy, because why else would she break the spinner belt?
Yeah.
But then we just went back and reverted back to the old belt for Athena to win. So, mm-hmm. the time that I've invested weeks after weeks after weeks into Ring of Honor television, watching the story build, is just for what? So that we can, I don't know, have these girls do a squabble in Japan with a belt. Like, so you could see the title belt in Japan on Wrestle Dynasty. Like,
and see, that's the thing. I understand wanting Athena to go into Wrestle Dynasty strong, because it's coming up really fast. AW doesn't have a lot of shows between now and then. I get it. Why book the Billy Starks match then?
Right.
Put it on another show. You do not have to book it here.
People are waiting for the first HBO. But like, that's also the thing of like the Ring of Honor television. Fernando in the chat also mentioned that the Ring of Honor world champion is on Dynamite and Collision. Why not Athena?
It doesn't make sense to me. And it's not like Athena, we're saying Athena hasn't been on TV lately. Athena has like never been on AW TV, really.
Never.
But sometimes Athena will be in a match on like the Forbidden Door pre-show or something like that. But Athena is having like a legendary title run. And it's,
I mean, she's
not even on AW's radar.
She surpassed Samoa Joe's record.
Yeah.
Like,
I genuinely don't get it. I really don't. And Wrestle Dynasty is going to be a fun show. There's a lot going on. Athena's going to kill it because it's Athena. Hello. She always kills it. Mm-hmm. But if your goal is to like at World's End, have Athena confront Mercedes or something, why did she have to beat Billy first to do that? I don't get it. I really don't.
At Ritual, Mother's Day is kind of a big deal, and we're celebrating accordingly. Find your ritual. If mom needs a bit of stress relief, digestive support, or is looking to support glowy, smooth skin, do it today with 40% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/podcast. That's ritual.com/podcast for 40% off your first month. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Are we going to wait for like the next final battle for Billy to finally win it? Because I'm not going to be interested by that point. It's like Cody Rhodes all over again.
Oh, God.
When they did that to Cody, that was that killed all of my interest in Cody Rhodes in WWE. Yeah. I'm going to be honest. Same. The only thing that would rope me back into Cody Rhodes in WWE is a heel turn. I'm going to be straight up real. Oh, and now not to change the subject to WWE, but WWE Tribal Chief Champion.
Oh my God. Leave. Please leave. Please leave. Just leave. I don't want it.
Mm-mm. I don't get it. There's so much in wrestling that right now that I freaking love.
Yeah.
Athena has been one of them, but now I'm like almost starting to dread the fact that she's going to be world champion probably for another year, because she has no one left to face.
Yeah.
So unless, I mean, I guess you could stick her on the AEW shows and then she has a whole new roster to face. But then what about ROH?
But then, yeah.
You have your pure champ and your TV champs and like somewhat your tag champs, but like she is ROH.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
And I mean, that's also the thing that I have an issue with Chris Jericho holding the title belt is that he's not Ring of Honor exclusive. He is an AEW wrestler.
Yeah.
And then you have Matt Cardona, which I get the history of Hammerstein Ballroom and Matt Cardona in New York and all the things. But what are the other singles wrestling wrestlers in Ring of Honor doing? Or yeah, sticking them in a fatal four-way or sticking them on Zero Hour? Like,
and it does feel like Ring of Honor right now is like, here's, you know, Red Velvet and Athena, very strong women's wrestlers, and then everybody else.
Yeah.
And the thing about Chris Jericho and Matt Cardona, I I understand you. Chris Jericho's the world, the logic that Chris Jericho is the world champion because they want to get a TV deal and, you know, he's the flagship, whatever. This match was a stinker. There was nothing in this match that I enjoyed.
I liked the outfits. I liked the carniness of
the Matt Cardona. Well, okay. The Matt Cardona character that he's had in like GCW and on the indies.
Yeah.
I'm not all that interested in it anymore. I've like kind of, I'm like, okay, it's Matt Cardona. He's going to come in, do his Matt Cardona things. He's going to say he's making all this money. He's a big draw, whatever. They put a lot on Matt Cardona's plate here. In the sense that they said, here's Chris Jericho, who can't wrestle an eighth of what he used to be able to.
Yeah.
Simply because he's broken down. He's just like, when you've wrestled this long, it just happens. And they did not deliver. And on this show, like with all these other, you know, and we'll probably talk about the other matches. There were some banger matches on this show. Like,
yeah.
They delivered. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, here's Chris Jericho, Matt Cardona, you know, Ring of Honor World Championship match. And they went freaking long. This felt like 25 hours. That was probably like 20 minutes, but it felt like 25 hours. Mm-hmm. And I was floored. I was like, okay, you want Chris Jericho as your world champion for, you know, good PR, TV championship stuff. But everything people are saying online about Chris Jericho is that this match sucked and it was a stinker. And now this is your world champ that you're trying to sell for TV deals. Make it make sense. Where's Athena? Put her on the posters.
If I look at, because here's also the other thing is like, when I look at the final battle card, which granted there's 13 matches.
Yeah.
The Ring of Honor women's match, the final, the main event, 25 minutes and 35 seconds, right?
Yeah.
The second longest match was the Survival of the Fittest match, which understandably there are what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 wrestlers to get through, right?
Yeah.
Which that match, unexpectedly great. Unexpectedly great.
Yeah.
The next longest match was the Chris Jericho match. Why was it 18 minutes? It felt like it went on way too long. And I just want my titles in Ring of Honor to mean something.
Because like if you look, okay, I also have it pulled up. The Women's World Television Championship, 11 minutes, 49 seconds. Red Velvet and Layla Hirsch.
Right.
Absurdly short.
Yeah.
The Pure Championship, Lee Moriarty, Nigel McGuinness.
Oh my gosh. That match was my second favorite match on the card.
It was a banger.
It's because I love the Pure Championship so much. It is my favorite belt and stipulation out of all brands because those matches mean the most to me. And I think because that was when I was in my, I want to explore something outside of WWE phase.
Yeah.
That's when I was finding those Nigel McGuinness, Bryan Danielson, you know, matches that were so good.
Yeah. I think what I really like about the Pure division and like the, obviously, it's a different rule set. It kind of takes you out of things and you have to pay attention a little bit more. I just love when wrestlers are really good at a niche style and they just go for it. And that's what Nigel does. He's really good at this niche, like technical, like grappling amateur wrestling style. And he just goes for it. Lee Moriarty as well. But I think, Lee Moriarty should be bigger than he is.
He should be.
I have thoughts about that, but I'll save him for another show.
About STP and all of that. But my favorite part about that match is that because it was old school Pure rules, which means the closed fist becomes a rope break. There's not the added rules. There's not the, you know, 20 minute, whatever. It's just simply those first, you know, those first couple pay-per-views that they had the Pure Pure title that they were like, we have no idea what this is. And you know what I loved about that? That first match, AJ Styles and CM Punk. If you want to watch the thing that made me who I am is watching that. It's shitty camera quality because it is like, what, 2006? It's not great. 2005? I don't know. It was so bad. So bad. It was like it was on filmed on someone's Nokia phone or something. But the crowd understands the rules. They're not on a big screen. They're not written out on a paper. So you go, okay, those are the rules. Here are the judges. It is simply rope breaks, no close fists. And this is how long the match is going to go. And we're off on the races. I mean, Nigel using the rope as like, because like the whole thing is like, oh, I'm going to have you in a hold. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to grab the rope. But he was like pushing. He was pushing Lee Moriarty into the rope. And then having like, and I always call it the Eddie Guerrero spot of like him pretending, you know.
Yeah.
With the closed fist, which got him that rope break, which was just like fantastic. And then in the end, Lee Moriarty, when they're all out of rope breaks, using the rope to get leverage to make Nigel tap. Chef's kiss.
One, I'm happy that Nigel is doing other things after the Bryan Danielson story, like,
yeah,
the match and all that kind of stuff, because I think Nigel has a lot to give, especially in the ring. And I think we saw that here with Lee Moriarty, who,
yeah,
is an incredible wrestler, and I has sort of like somewhat fallen through the cracks a little bit in terms, yeah, of like AEW fan viewership. But I think Nigel is very, very good, especially in this match, of like showing everything his opponent does really, really well. And so Lee came across to me as like a very smart, very focused wrestler, like a very mature wrestler for someone who was so young. And so I think, mm-hmm, that was Nigel's job. Nigel did his job. It was great. And I'm hoping that in the new era, like the Max era, that we start to see more AEW crossover, like not just Athena, obviously, but when the Pure Championship and the TV Championship, and I guess every AEW men's title has been the feature of an AEW story. in the last 2 years. But I think it would be fun for AEW on the pre-shows of pay-per-views, or like on, you know, the main card at some point, to have matches that are not just, because like they do a lot of stipulation matches, but like, mm-hmm, there's only so many times I can watch a ladder match. I love the pure rules thing, and mm-hmm, I think that it's, and maybe AEW fans don't like it, and that's why it's not on the shows anymore. I don't know, but I always looked forward to it.
Yeah,
like when Tony first bought Ring of Honor, and like it was everywhere on AEW TV. That was one thing that I hoped that they had kept. And then what they did keep was Chris Jericho. But we can fix it, Tony. We can fix it.
I can fix him.
But like maybe AEW fans don't like it. I don't know.
I don't care what other AEW fans like. I know what I like. And if you don't like it, like, that's fine. But I'm still going to cry about it and talk about it online. But yeah, it, all in all, if you have 5 hours, the entire Final Battle pay-per-view is fantastic. But if you just want to get through some matches, we have Danhausen is back in whatever capacity. Shibata versus Tommy Billington really showed out. I think it should have been longer because it was only like 9 minutes. Red Velvet and Layla should have been longer, because I want to see more like submission Layla Hirsch, because Red Velvet is so flippy dippy agile.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to see the dynamic and power of Layla, even though she is so tiny and small, using her legs and her arms and everything that she's able to do. The bull rope match impressed me, but it was the wrong winner. They've been going back and forth between this, and we don't need Dustin Rhodes and Ring of Honor. We don't. He doesn't bring anything. And then, of course, Athena and Billy. Fantastic. 100%. 10 out of 10. Should be the match you watch.
I lost signal for a second. I thought we were crashing. Like, my heart dropped for a second. We're okay. I think we're okay.
No! Listen, it's a Sunday before our holiday. I think that the internet just does not want to internet.
Yeah, I think that it's like internet's on vacation or something. But
I mean, fair.
I love the bull rope stipulation.
Yeah.
I don't like the Dustin Rhodes, Sammy Guevara. Like,
yeah.
And so I like the righteous.
Oh, no. I also like the righteous. Oh, no. I really wanted to hear. I think the righteous should have won. Let me know in the chat if you thought the righteous. I do not agree with you, Mike, that the righteous are glorified jobbers in Ring of Honor. I think they've shown week after week after week who they are and how they've excelled. I definitely... Kylie is saying, I am freeze. So if you didn't know, Kylie is frozen. So everyone write their, you know, cheesiest freezing pun. Oh, look, it's my face. This is terrifying. but the Regis totally should have won. It is exactly what the story has been going towards this whole time. Dustin having his father mentioned, especially with the specific cowbell that was mentioned and everything. See, the chat is agreeing with me that the righteous should have won. Oh no. It's if I went out. Oh my gosh. But I don't agree that the righteous are glorified jobbers. I think their winning percentage has definitely been a key indicator that they, Kylie has Kate's internet. See, this is what happens when I don't produce a show, right? I can't do all the things in the background. Oh my gosh. But the righteous, the storyline that they've been sharing, the winning percentage, who they have beat, coming up to this final battle match. I mean, it should have been them all along. It should have been. There's no reason for Dustin to be there. Whether you think that they're jobbers or not, there's no reason for Dustin Rhodes to be in Ring of Honor other than the fact that he's retiring. So why not? Come on. And do you believe that Sammy Guevara is not going to just turn heel on him? Come on. Come on. Who likes a babyface Sammy Guevara? You got to be kidding me. Is that believable? I don't think it's believable. And his stupid hair makes me just want to cut it off, shave it, do a hair versus hair match. For the love of God. I don't know if other people feel this way, but I think somewhere down the line, Dustin and Sammy are going to break up. Yes, exactly. Dustin is there to babysit Sammy, which ironic, he has a kid now. The Righteous win quite a bit. They just went on Ring of Honor, which has a lower audience, so nobody sees. Here's the thing. Put them on television. You did it with the Infantry. That's how the Infantry organically got over. And now they're doing this heel turn. And I'm not sure if I buy into the Infantry being heels yet. But hi, welcome back.
I'm on my hotspot. I was like, we're not going to trust the Wi-Fi anymore. We'll just use the hotspot. So,
okay, fair. But we were talking about it of like, why is Dustin and Sammy continuing? Because he has no reason to be in Ring of Honor. The entire storyline has been the Righteous. And I know that that's where you were going.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no Dustin to be in Ring of Honor. And there's no reason that he still holds the triple.
Am I freezing again?
My internet going out now?
I don't know. You froze for me for a second.
Okay. No, everything did like this spinny thing for me. So.
Oh, yeah.
But I had mentioned.
Yeah. I think we're back.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cross our fingies. No, but I had mentioned that like. I mentioned that the Righteous, the reason why they don't seem over is because they're not being featured on AEW, which is where most of these viewers are from, because they did it with the Infantry. The Infantry were in that tournament and they had that big win on AEW television. How else are they going to get over organically if you aren't putting them where a lot of your fan base is? Because yeah. I think the Venn diagram of Ring of Honor viewers and AEW watchers is turning into a circle these days. I don't think that there are people who just only watch Ring of Honor. I think it's like AEW and then Ring of Honor is this little subsection. Overexpose them. Come on. You put the Infantry on AEW television. Why can't you put the Righteous on them? Or why can't you do other tag teams? For goodness sake, they have the on Ring of Honor television weekly. I was saying that all week, by the way, and it definitely helped me. So thank you.
Be careful. That's the model. The motto of the show. Be careful. Auntie, be careful. But I understand Sammy Guevara being in Ring of Honor. The Dustin thing, part of me is like, okay, he's a veteran present. He could be beneficial for someone like Sammy, who does feel like a little unrefined as a wrestler and as like a character in wrestling. I get it. But I need Ring of Honor to form its own identity that isn't just people who are on the shelf in AW who need to come have a short title reign and then, you know, a short little story and then kick it back. The Righteous, when they were on AEW TV, whenever it feels like a long time ago now, I really enjoyed it. I thought they were fresh. I thought that there was really nothing on AEW TV that felt like the Righteous. They looked a lot different. I had a good time with them. And then they got like kicked out. They basically got beat up and written off. And I don't know. I feel like they should be a bigger deal in like the AEW Ring of Honor universe. I just think that in terms of tag teams, you have a lot of like Young Bucks style tag teams where it's like this really flashy, like hyper athletic type of wrestling, which is great. And but that's like its own thing. They don't have a lot of people who wrestle tag team or otherwise who wrestle like the Righteous. And so I don't know. I don't know what happened with them on AEW where they're not on there anymore. But I thought, and what I've learned from this pay-per-view is that I shouldn't think about who I think should win.
don't think. No thoughts. Just wrestle. Just no things. No thoughts. Like me, just wrestle.
For me, it felt like with a lot of the stories that are happening at AEW, it felt like Sammy was going to be going back. And like the Pillars thing, and because like Kip is doing stuff, MJF is doing stuff. You obviously have Jack Perry. Darby is doing stuff. Like, it seems like prime time for Sammy to be reintroduced, like to me at least. And so I thought, okay, it's a shoo-in. Like, you give it to the Righteous, who are like a real tag team, quote unquote. And then Sammy can go back. Mm-hmm. And then you could keep Dustin in Ring of Honor and he could do stuff and like help young wrestlers. Like, he doesn't have to be gone. Like, he shouldn't be dominating multiple divisions, but he can be in Ring of Honor and do the veteran coach role. But no, he's gonna stay champion. Sammy's staying there now, presumably. Unless they take them both to AEW. Whatever. Whatever. This is a really great show, Final Battle. There was a lot of very confusing choices made. I don't see the vision.
I don't think there is a lot of vision for Ring of Honor. And that's also the thing of, like, Tony Khan, the money that I would ask to run Ring of Honor, to book Ring of Honor, like, it's peanuts compared to, like, could you imagine, like, let me write for Ring of Honor so I can quit my job. So just match that, which is just so small. Just so small amount of money. Just double that, and you cover my flight and hotel and a car, so I can go to your tapings whenever they are, because they're like not that often. Mm-hmm. I can write for you. I don't even have to be face to face with, you know, everyone, and we could just do Zoom stuff. I would be very cost efficient for my very excited brain. And I would, if I was given a budget, I could have a great team with me. We could all work together. Oh my goodness.
From my dad, Chris, he says, hi auntie, hi daughter, Billy should have won, period. Billy should have won. I don't see the vision. I don't see the story. I understand Wrestle Dynasty is coming up, and that kind of gets back to what Delayed Gratz is saying about Dustin and Sammy versus House of Torture. First of all, why does it have to be House of Torture?
Why does it have to be House of Torture? I have to tell you, the moment that graphic came up, I go, no.
Yeah.
No.
I was like, who did, because, like, to me, okay, Delayed Gratz says, I bet New Japan didn't want the Righteous versus House of Torture.
Yeah.
Why not? If I'm New Japan, I want the Righteous. They scream New Japan a whole lot more than Dustin Rhodes and Sammy. Mm-hmm. First of all, why is it House of Torture? Think of all the tag teams in New Japan. And for whatever reason,
this is the
House
one.
Of Torture. New Japan is like, House of Torture is it. House of Torture is, yeah, is our. And, like, remember when Jack Perry was in New Japan for a little bit?
So good.
So good. And then House of Torture was, like, kind of there. And now they're like, we're going to capitalize on this House of Torture fame. No, we do not want House of Torture. I don't think anybody who watches AEW is sitting there thinking, oh, man, I really wish House of Torture was, you know, wrestling these guys in AEW. I really wish I could see House of Torture on Dynamite and Collision. No.
Yeah. No.
There's TMDK. You have, like, I'm about to go on. Like, this is the biggest issue I think New Japan is facing. In that they are not developing new wrestlers and new teams like they did in the past. In the sense that it's like, everybody they think is the big next big thing is not who the fans think is the next big thing. And so they're just spinning and spinning and spinning and spinning. Meanwhile, AEW is cranking out star after star after star after star. Mike is right. House of Torture are geeks. Nobody likes them. Are they over in Japan? Is that why this is a thing? Like, do Japanese fans really like them? Is that the thing? Someone in the chat has to know. Are they, like, big merch sellers in Japan? And that's why this is... I'm so confused. Because when they said...
I don't know either.
That, like... Because they've been building Dynasty to be, like, this big show. It's, like, four promotions. Best of the best. And then we get... That was a torture. And Dustin and Sammy.
Are they capitalizing on the fact that, like, maybe they don't have a match for anyone else?
Just don't book the match. They're like, oh, man.
You don't have to do this. You don't have to book them.
They don't have to be there. It's supposed to be best of the best. And so far, we're getting best of the best, right? Like,
right.
Kenny Omega, Promo and Dynamite. They're over in Japan. Delayed Gratz and Forensic World said they're over in Japan. So every time now, moving forward, there's a New Japan presence in AW, I'm going to have to sit in that pocket. That's what you're telling me. I have to put up with it for New Japan.
Oh, sorry.
No. Tell Japanese fans not to do this to me. Now for Forbidden Door, guess who's going to be there? House of Torture.
Great.
I'm going to have to see them all the time now.
Oh my God.
I'm so upset. But anyway, Kenny Omega had a little video package on Dynamite.
Oh my gosh. I almost texted you. Here's my problem. This has been my problem this week. It's not that my phone dies. It's just that, like, I play music all day long. So that I get home and then I put it in the charger, which is in our bedroom. And then I don't have it when I'm watching TV. So then I can't text you and then I forget because Swiss cheese brain. But I wanted to text you and be like, oh my God, I'm crying. Dead.
Yes, I was so happy because we've gotten close to no sign of life from Kenny Omega in AW. Like, obviously he's in Japan, or he was in New Japan and he was building the match and, you know, the Gabe mm-hmm. Kid stuff. But like AEW was basically like, la 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 la, I can't hear you, pretending like he wasn't there. And mm-hmm. so not only did we get the video package with Kenny Omega, it wasn't like Kenny Omega. It was basically just a hype video. You know, Kenny Omega, you know, best bout machine, all that kind of stuff. They have the Young Bucks who are going to be at Wrestle Dynasty.
Yeah.
Also, over the course of the last week, Hangman and the Young Bucks have been posting each other's action figures on their Instagram stories and also reposting each other's Instagram stories. So what I'm saying is we are so back.
Yeah, we're so back.
Did you also see that TNT on Christmas Eve is going to have like a Yule log style video, a long live stream of just Hangman sitting in front of Swerve's burning house on Christmas Eve?
Oh my gosh. On Christmas Eve?
Yeah. Because I guess someone on Blue Sky said, you guys are cowards, you won't do this. And TNT said, cowards. And they did it. And it's just going to be Hangman sitting in front of Swerve's burning house. Like, you know, like the Yule log videos where it's just a log.
Yeah.
It just plays on mm-hmm. loop. It's that, but it's Hangman.
I can't wait. I'm going to have it on. I turn notifications on. Yeah.
They're going to notify me when it starts.
Yeah, absolutely. 110%. Let's go.
Kenny coming back at World's End will feed families for decades. Mike, you're right. AW needs Kenny, I think, is the thing.
Yeah.
He just adds so much to the show. And like Bryan Danielson is the same way, where like he adds so much to any show that he's on. Wrestle Dynasty is going to be good. Kenny's going to have a good match, whatever. What I need is Kenny Omega and the Elite, a unified force, to come in and squash Jon Moxley. I want him thrown through 6 glass tables.
Oh my God.
He is doing such a good job as a heel that like when I see him now, I almost forget that I love him. I'm like, oh my God, it's that guy Moxley again. Like I'm like, he's so good at what he's doing.
Speaking of glass tables, when AEW puts all of their back history on HBO, what is the first show that you're going to watch?
I'm starting from the beginning. Yeah, and I'm going to watch the whole thing. Yeah. Because the first episode of AW Dynamite, the first, you know, live TV episode, is so iconic. Because we crown our first women's champ, but we also have Jon Moxley, Kenny Omega, the big beatdown angle, building for, like, the very storied feud of Jon Moxley and Kenny Omega.
Yeah.
And it's also like the first like moment where we see Kenny start to descend into like his crazy arc where he's losing and losing and losing because he left his heart in Japan. And, you know, he's becoming Jon Moxley.
I love it.
No, because like, listen, Kenny Omega should have come to AEW and beaten everybody. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. But like, he was their biggest star that they had. And, yeah. And then you have Jim Ross saying, did Kenny Omega leave his wrestling heart in Japan? Jim Ross, shut up. Jim Ross, you need to hype him up. You should have been his hype man. Instead, you had Jim Ross saying, this Kenny guy, I don't think he's got it anymore. Shut up.
Tell us how you really feel, man.
I was so, and it took them a year and a half to get out of that story.
I know.
And then they started building Hangman. The Bell Collector thing was a good time, which, remember when TNA was fun to watch? Anyway.
Remember when, no, I won't.
Yeah, let's maybe not.
I did that last week, didn't I?
What? Oh, yeah. Anyway, back to Japan. I'm excited. I don't know if Kenny is like, because obviously he's wrestling in Japan. I don't know if he's going to come back to AEW and like immediately in a story. I think they're going to do something because it, like, you can't have Kenny Omega talking about the Young Bucks in New Japan interviews. And we know the Young Bucks, they never do anything on social media without there being some kind of agenda behind it. And so, like, the Hangman stuff is not coincidental. I'm very intrigued about the new generation, like, the new era of AEW, because they're going to, like, simulcast on Max. So their first, like, proper Max episode is in, like, 2 weeks or so.
Yeah.
A week and a half, I guess, because it's Wednesday. Oh, yeah, and Frantic World, like, we are 100% getting Kenny versus Okada. Because, like, when Kenny left, that's what he was building, was Kenny Okada. I am intrigued to see, because I think Kenny is going to, like, slowly, like, fix the Elite. I think that he, like, they're going to have, they have bigger fish to fry. Jon Moxley's destroying everything. He is, quite frankly, holding the entire company hostage, but it, not in a bad way, like, storyline-wise. And I think that, like, Kenny, like, obviously Okada is in the Continental Classic. Like, maybe we put Okada on the back burner for a second. We do Kenny Okada, like, all in.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, because it's in Texas. You want, like, a big headlining match. Like, and then maybe, like, in the interim, we do this Elite reunion story, and we do it right this time, and we solve all our problems by beating Jon Moxley. The problem then is you have Marina Shafir and AW, like, AW refuses to do anything intergender for some reason.
She can beat up most of that roster.
Yeah. Can you imagine Matt Jackson squaring up with Marina Shafir? I'd pay money.
You know what I'd like to see, and this is just in my own little brain, is that Marina Shafir is like, I'm going to beat up everyone. And then in the background is just Roddy, because they're married, being like, yeah, get him. Yeah, yeah. Just like, hold me back. Hold me back, you know?
He's such a goober, but I love him.
I do too.
I adore, and I love her. I think that she fits this role very well. Not in the sense that she needs other people around her to be charismatic, but I think she does the stoic, like it's the kind of the same way Claudio is, like the lurker, like someone who's just lurking and is a threat. And so you, like, always kind of have to have an eye on them because they could strike at any point. I think that's where she really shines. And so I think that's why the Death Riders, she's really shining here. But yeah, and Mike is kind of right. Mike in the chat says someone has to be a major player against Moxley because no one now is a major threat. And that's true. Because, like, Danielson is out. Most of their big stars are wrapped up in other things, like the Hurt Syndicate story or the Don Callis family story. And so, like, here comes Kenny Omega. I just am so happy that Kenny Omega is coming back to AEW. Because for a second there, I'm not going to lie, guys, I was like, okay, Kenny's coming back to New Japan. What if he's just in New Japan for months? I would cry in a bad way. But he's not, because they showed the video package, so we're fine.
Don't make my heart do that again.
Dan in the chat says, Marina looks like she'll take you out and eat your liver.
I didn't need it anyways, right? oh my God.
I am just beyond excited. I think World's End is going to be a good pay-per-view. Because I remember World's End being disappointing last year. So I think it'll be good this year. Like, that's the rules, yeah. Right? That, like, if it's bad one year, has to be good the next.
They had the whole... Yeah.
Yeah. So it's going to be good.
Yeah, that's the logic. That makes sense. What did you think of Adam... Adam Cole versus MJF? Did you hear the promo at all yesterday?
I did. I don't know. I'm just not interested in this story. So it's like, it's hard for me. It's like, the big twist was MJF admitting that he was also thinking the same thing as Adam Cole, and that they were going to like use each other to get ahead. Right. He was going to turn on him to get ahead. So like, obviously that's the big story element. I'm just not that interested in it because I don't know. I would just rather Adam Cole be doing anything else. And I feel like MJF, I know a lot of people are still into MJF, but I feel like he's stagnating. Like he needs some oomph.
Yeah.
He needs like something to fluff. Like he can't just keep getting more orange and act like it's character development, you know? And I feel like that's what he's doing.
He's like, I agree.
And so the devil storyline, where
it could have been so good.
I think MJF was at his hottest when they played that video at All Out 2022, maybe, when it's like the voicemail of Tony Khan saying, "This is your final offer. I'll pay you X amount of money. You just have to show up." And then obviously we have the devil reveal. That was MJF at his like white hot, organically over. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then everything since then. And like, I was someone who I was into the Bro Chacho thing. Like, I was like, this is good. This is a fun time. Like, I love a fun time. But it's just, oh my God, it's never ending, never ending.
And I think this is truly, truly where time has killed everything.
Yeah.
Time has sucked the life out of this. Because with time, Adam Cole had to get his surgery, and then there was another surgery and using the cadaver bone and all the things, right? Having some interpersonal issues, all the things needed time. I think time killed this feud.
And I think it's time, and I think it's also in that time, AEW has changed so much in the sense that there's like Jay Wyatt and Hangman, and obviously Darby, and you know, there's Will Ospreay and Kyle Fletcher, and like so many big stories that feel a lot more meaningful, a lot more impactful. And then you have this story, which we didn't really get a resolution to it last time. That's true. I get it. But I feel like instead of immediately going back to it, we could have done Adam Cole in other things, MJF in other things, and like had small, subtle references to their story and their feud and their friendship that aren't overbearing, aren't taking over everything, but kind of like just keeping it in the back of fans' minds that this friendship dissolved in an awful way. And, you know, you don't talk through your problems, they fester and they simmer and your emotions overwhelm you. And then we can come back later. That feels like a way better course of action because fans want to see Adam Cole doing other stuff. I'm going to be honest. It all comes down to Adam Cole and fans wanting him to do other things. And so I don't know why. Not only did we go right back into it, but we're milking it for all it's worth. It's been so long. So long.
When it was rumored that Adam Cole was going to come back, I have said on multiple podcasts how I wanted him to be booked. Because we've been teasing this, you know, feud with Kyle O'Reilly and Roderick Strong and like having the, you know, flirting with all of this. I think Adam Cole would have been far more, excited, I guess. Like, we would be far more excited if he was like the heel that he was in Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
Like, could you imagine if he came back and he was just like, no, no nonsense, no business, defeating, you know, Kyle O'Reilly in 2 minutes and 40 seconds. Then Roderick Strong, like, he's beating down on him after the bell, all these things. Roderick Strong is like, whoa, 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 dude. And then he just, like, has another match with Roderick Strong, beats him in less time.
Yeah.
Then he goes through everyone in the conglomeration. Then has, like, this wonderful feud with Orange Cassidy, which I know that Orange Cassidy is having, you know, his moment in the world title picture right now. But imagine Orange Cassidy versus Adam Cole, and they're having to, like, go for blow, for blow, for blow. And then we're getting Adam Cole booked strong as a heel. And then MJF comes in and goes, whoa, 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 whoa. And they finish that. We just dove right into this Adam Cole MJF feud, like, without getting our knickers on, you know, like we're not warmed up. It's just going into it cold.
Yeah.
And now we have to sit in it.
And I like just, it's not that I'm looking forward to the resolution. It's that I'm looking forward to the resolution just so it's over. Cause it like, and I saw people criticizing like the Ricochet thing and, you know, Hurt Syndicate's making Ricochet look like a dork. I don't think that's true. But if you look at the Ricochet thing, in such a short amount of time, Ricochet has gone from this like superhero baby face. He, you know, had his losing streak and now we have the heel turn. And like, it's such a simple, simple thing, but it's keeping Ricochet fresh. Adam Cole, they've done nothing really to keep him fresh. He's been a heel. He's been a baby face. But he's ultimately always Adam Cole. And so the thing for me is Adam Cole has always been a better heel than a baby face, at least for me and like what I like from wrestling and what I like from him. So you have Jay White and Hangman squaring off. Yeah. And obviously the Moxley stuff. And there's like all these players. Why isn't Adam Cole in there? Because we haven't gotten a satisfactory resolution to Adam Cole versus Jay White or Adam Cole versus Hangman. Or Adam Cole versus the Young Bucks, or Adam Cole versus Kenny Omega, for that matter. And so now we also have Will Ospreay, and we have Okada, and we have Kyle Fletcher. So, like, I understand he had the surgery, and maybe you want to ease him back into wrestling so he's not immediately, like, being forced to wrestle at that caliber. I get it.
Yeah.
But who likes this? Because every time they're on screen, I go on social media and it's everybody like, oh my God, here we go. In a bad way.
Yeah.
And like, I don't care what the outcome is at this point. Adam Cole beats MJF. MJF beats Adam Cole. Who comes out on top? I don't care. I just want it to end. So that's where I'm at. I just wanted to end. Because it's not that I hate them, right? Or that I hate Kyle O'Reilly or Roderick Strong or The Kingdom or whatever. It's that the story feels so played out. Like, it feels like it's done and we're just rereading the last sentence over and over and over again. That's what it feels like. And MJF was also out. He was, like, filming movies and stuff. So it's not even like MJF, we got any story with him in the interim.
Which I wasn't like privy that like that was something of interest to him. Like, he doesn't strike me as the kind of person that has diversity enough to be an actor. Whereas like Adam Copeland
Adam Copeland
can diversify his personality.
And the thing about MJF is I think because his wrestling character has been the same for so long, is like, if he was that great of an actor, where's the spark? Because MJF back, I think MJF in the Cody story, I liked that. But there's only so many times you can be deceptive to a friend and have me like mourn the loss of that friendship. I'm just not into it. Yeah, Jose is right. Adam Copeland is so fun in the Percy Jackson show.
I haven't watched it yet.
It's so good. It's a good show. It's a good show in general, but he's really good in it. Yeah.
Okay. I'll watch it.
Add it to the list.
Add it to the list. Well, next year, do you want to do our best ofs?
Our best ofs matches?
Yeah, for the year. It'll be our last show of 2024.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go through my notes. Because I think I told you this. Over the course of the year, I put matches
I know.
Like in my notes. So, yes. Okay, here's, everybody, you have a homework assignment. Next week is, our next show is the 29th. Yes, because today's 22nd. Come prepared with a few of your favorite matches of the year from any promotion, whatever, I don't care. And we'll have a good time. We'll have our New Year's party on Wrestling Made Me Cry. I'll bring snacks.
I like it.
I agree. And I'll post on social media to remind you all to make your list.
Thank you. Thank you for reminding me. What else made you cry this week?
The main thing was the Kenny Omega video package. But I was happy for Ricochet because he should. Oh my God, the Costco guys.
Boom.
I freaking love the Costco guys. You don't understand. I'm obsessed. I don't know why. I don't watch any of their content. I only watch them in wrestling. Also, there are children outside playing football. So if you hear them, I'm very, very sorry. It's Christmas break. Kids make noise. Get used to it.
I mean, earlier you were hearing what sounded like a crazy car or a truck back.
So earlier,
right before we went on.
Yeah, earlier Auntie and I were just game planning and I just hear shrill beeping. I'm like, oh my goodness, it's a tow truck. No, it was a child. It was a child.
It was literally a child outside screaming.
It sounded like a tow truck, you know, when they're backing up to get the, you know what I'm saying. I don't know where I was going with it, but Kenny Omega.
Yeah.
Oh, the Costco guys. I was so happy to see them. Even though Big Boom, like, obviously hurt his foot in a QT match.
See his little boot.
So I don't know if he's wanting to wrestle again. I don't know, like, what his prognosis is. But I was so happy to see them. I love them. And I don't watch any of their content. I don't. I only watch them in AW and I'm obsessed.
Sorry, I'm trying to.
What? Oh, you're trying to be the Rizzler?
Yeah.
I don't watch any of the Rizzler content. I didn't know the Rizzler was a child, I think, until you told me that he was a child.
Did you think he was just a small man? Or did you just not know
who he was? I thought he was like a creature. Like the Lorax?
A creature?
Like the Lorax. Doesn't it sound like a Dr. Seuss character? Or am I crazy?
I need to leave. This has been great. Oh my God. Yeah, loved seeing them back. I was fully expecting them to be at Final Battle, but what we got last night was totally fun. Listen, and to those in the chat going, I've never seen him, didn't know who he was before AEW. Millions of people had seen him. The fact that they had about a few weeks ago, they had a Sonicare. I don't know if y'all know about Sonicare. the, you know, the electric toothbrush, they don't do sponsorships with non-teeth people. Non-teeth and they're over people. Here. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Dentists, teeth people.
I am, but also like, a teeth person. I have a lot of them.
You know what I mean? Like, they yes, never and, do.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I just, it's fantastic. Yeah, I'm just kind of in my mood of like, okay, let me reflect on like 2024, my year in wrestling, what has gone on. Because a lot has happened this year that I really need to marinate on.
Yes.
So.
I agree. I'm excited to go back and look for my top matches of the year, my top wrestlers of the year. And like, because stuff that happened in January feels so far from my mind. So I'm going to be like, yeah. Oh my God, that was actually really fun. So I'm excited.
I just miss Kenny Omega.
I miss Kenny Omega all the time. But he's back. Okay.
He's coming back. Well, hi, hello. If you want to follow me, and when I go live, I'm here on Sundays talking about how wrestling made me cry. On Mondays, I'm over at our local establishment talking about women's classic wrestling. We're still going through the Mae Young Classic. We are now in the semifinals. So if you want to take a trip down memory lane with myself, Astrid, and Mel Ball Collins, we are talking about the Mae Young Classic and our thoughts on it 7 years later. It's been 7 years. It's been 7 years. And then I'm also talking about Ring of Honor on Thursdays. This Thursday is like is Kibi's final show on Honorable. So if you didn't know, Kimmy Sokol, my co-host over on Honor Ramble, is leaving wrestling media to go on to bigger and better things. So if you want to come in, pop in, say hi, do whatever, we'll be doing the things. So yeah,
you can follow me on Blue Sky and Twitter at Kylie Wrestling. I'm more active on Blue Sky, but I'm trying to be more active on Twitter because I have a lot of friends on Twitter that I only have on Twitter. So I'm like trying to find balance. This is Wrestling Made Me Cry. It's a show where me and Collins come on here and we talk about the things that we liked in wrestling and like the things that made us cry. So we're live every Sunday at noon Eastern time, 9 Pacific time, 5 British time. And we talk about anything and everything. We're just kind of like a variety show. And we're live on Fightful Overbooked. And this is Fightful Overbooked, where there's a lot of variety here on Fightful Overbooked. It is a variety show. It's kind of the Wild West. And so go over to the playlist tab, go look at the playlist. There's wrestling content. There's also like non-wrestling content. There's a lot going on. So yeah, go check that out. Jose is right. So much great insight. Be careful, Auntie. Yes, that is the motto of our show. Be careful. All that being said, thank you guys so much for joining us for this little short show. But you know what? It's the holiday season. So if you're someone who celebrates a holiday in the winter, I hope you had a happy holiday or you're going to have a happy holiday wherever you happen to fall. And we'll see you guys next week. Don't forget to do your homework. Your best matches. Best matches.
Or else.
You get an F in Wrestling Made Me Cry and you have to retake it in 2025.
So you better all fail.
Yeah, you better be there. Anyway, guys, thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Ready to roll into savings? Visit Dave Gill Chevrolet at 4700 East Broad Street in Columbus, your hometown Chevy experts. Right now, take advantage of tariff-busting deals on some of our most popular models. Experience the bold new 2025 Silverado 1500 with its powerful V8 engine and cutting-edge tech. Or discover the all-electric 2025 Chevy Equinox EV for an eco-friendly commute without compromising style or range. Looking for value? Browse our extensive inventory of certified certified pre-owned vehicles. From sporty coupes to family-friendly SUVs, each rigorously inspected for your peace of mind. Cruise over to Dave Gill Chevrolet or visit us online today at DaveGillChevy.com and drive home happy.